Hello, NBA fans. We have another blockbuster trade this summer. Kawhi Leonard is heading to the Toronto Raptors. Welcome to the NBA Outlet. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Corey Waldron, special guest, Dom Rooney. Guys, how are we doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I got to be up in way too short of a time period, but I feel energized because Kawhi was traded, and you know that's enough to give anybody a rush of adrenaline. And then obviously we got Dom Rooney on, and Dom, it's always a pleasure to have you on, brother.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. I think I'm just as shocked as everyone else was about this news. Came pretty quick.
Yeah, it definitely. I mean, we heard the rumors earlier this week about Kawhi possibly going to Toronto. We knew that he wasn't necessarily interested in going there. Obviously, he might be warming up to the idea. But the official trade is Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green to the Toronto Raptors for DeMar DeRozan, Jakob Poeltl, and a protected first-round pick, which I believe the protections are, if it doesn't convey in 2019, it's going to turn into 2 second-round picks. Initial reaction when you saw the trade early this morning?
I was actually driving to work. I might stop in the middle of a road driving, so maybe they got the Woj bomb too, and they just couldn't bring themselves to keep on driving. I was shocked. I immediately texted a bunch of group chats, you know. Obviously, when you hear news like that, you just want to get as many thoughts out and talk with as many people as possible. I know our group chat at OTG was popping real early, which is very unlike the group chat. If anyone's in the group chat, you know that thing is not normally that live and heavy at 9 a.m. East Coast time.
It was like a second alarm.
yeah, right? Just keeps on getting notification. You think something bad's happening. No, just a trade happening. It was wild. I mean, I think the first report came out at like 4 a.m. And a lot of people missed this, but at 11 o'clock, I was at the gym and I watched DeMar DeRozan's story. And he actually pretty much gave it all away. At like 5 a.m., he was posting stories saying there's no loyalty in the game, and everyone will know soon enough. And then, you know, a couple weeks ago, he deleted every single picture off his Instagram, and that was quote unquote just because. I think this DeRozan knew this. The writing was on the wall secretly all along. And then once he got word last night, I think he kind of just, you know, finally had enough and started posting about it. But absolutely wild.
Before you go, Dom, just a quick note. Zach Lowe posted in his piece that they told DeMar in December that he could be the Kobe of Toronto and bring them the championships and all this great stuff. And then they just flip him for Kawhi recently. But, Dom, what was your reaction to the trade?
Well, I was actually just about to bring that up about how he felt like they kind of lied to him about him being the franchise piece. As far as an initial reaction goes, I mean, I've just seen so many like Kawhi trade package scenarios that could have been, and it's just like each and every day there's another one and another one, and then they all fall through and nothing happens, and then it's on to the next one. But this one was just, I don't know, it just because it happened so quick, and it's just like nobody expected it. And the thing I find most interesting is that we all knew he wanted to get traded, and we all knew that they were looking to trade him. And then, yet we all still are so surprised, and we're all still so amped up about it, even when we saw it coming. And then when it happens, finally, it still has the same impact that it would have if it had been out of nowhere.
Yeah, no, it's kind of like LeBron going to the Lakers. Like, it was rumored all summer, you know, early in the summer, and then it actually happened. I think going to the Raptors, we saw the rumors. We just didn't really know what the package was. And it seems like this kind of sends some different messages for the Spurs and for the Raptors. But what was your initial, you know, what are your thoughts on the actual trade? Obviously, the Raptors getting Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green, who can't be slept on. You know, he's a solid role player in this league. And then as well, DeMar DeRozan and Jakob Poeltl in the first round pick going to the Spurs.
Yeah, I think we look at it for the winners of right now. The big winners, right? I think both sides, at the end of the day, won today's trade. How they play out long term, that's a different story. But right now, the Spurs won Nessus because, you know, they got rid of Kawhi Leonard, who didn't want to be there anymore. He was definitely going to walk at the end of the season. They got a all-star DeMar DeRozan, who's locked up for the next 3 years. Jakob Poeltl.
Wow, Poeltl, good job, Corey.
Here's what I'm going to pause. I have to address this because this is funny. I was actually watching Greg Popovich give his end of year talk after the trade happened, and he said Jakob so much. I just was like, all right, there's no way, or Jakob, there's no way I can mess this up. Because I listened to him say it for about a half hour straight.
Pop's a great teacher.
Yeah, right? Case point. So Jakob Poeltl, DeMar DeRozan, a draft pick. I think the Spurs, they made the right move. DeRozan and Aldridge may shoot a ton of mid-range, but they definitely have two all-stars going forward, a nice group of young guys who still play a lot of defense. And on the flip side, the Raptors, you know, you were at the top of the East. You didn't get to the Eastern Conference Finals. You haven't been to the NBA Finals. You're trying to get there. At the end of the day, it is a business. I know the loyalty part and the things that the Raptors have said to DeRozan, they were shitty. And anytime that stuff happens, it's shitty. But the fact of the matter is, if you have a chance to get Kawhi Leonard, you go after and you get Kawhi Leonard. I think that's a point that a lot of people are forgetting, that you don't – players like Kawhi, if they're healthy, do not come around that often. So the Raptors took a risk, much like the Thunder did a year ago in training for Paul George, who wanted to go to L.A. similar to how Kawhi Leonard did. And for the Raptors, you know, they're still going to be a top team in the East. Their chances of making the NBA Finals if Kawhi is healthy, which is clearly the biggest if, the finals are really in reach. And it's really about trying to now pitch this entire year to try and keep Kawhi Leonard long term.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you covered the two biggest points there. First off, that you compared it to the Paul George situation. And I think that's something that a lot of people have said is a possibility. The only issue I have with that is Kawhi Leonard does not really strike me as nice of a person as Paul George. And I know that, I mean, that might be using the wrong words, makes it seem like it's not really relevant. But it's almost like Kawhi is not as much willing to like open up to something. I mean, I don't know him personally, so I mean, I definitely shouldn't really be saying this, but
I know you're hitting him in the DM right now. No, I'm just kidding.
this is what he's telling me right now. It's just, he just doesn't seem like he seems like this is where I'm going and this is what I'm doing, and no matter how good Toronto is, no matter how many amazing albums Drake drops, I'm not moving. So, the other point, Corey, that you mentioned was that, if you have an opportunity to get Kawhi, you go for it. And that's exactly what they did. And like you said, this opens up a lot more opportunity for them in the East. I saw this actually pretty recently. Molly Karam on First Take, she tweeted something about the first seed in the East just got the second best player in the NBA. And even with Boston and Philly and their young prospects, it's still very impossible to ignore that exact sentence. You can't ignore that Kawhi, when healthy, is, in my opinion, top two. I mean, consensus top three for most people, and at the very least,
yeah,
top
and
five.
Not even, yeah, but, and you know, we mentioned Kawhi. We haven't even mentioned the fact they also got Danny Green in the trade.
Most people, I mean, I've watched the Spurs because I love the Spurs, and if people don't, they won't realize like Danny Green's a very good perimeter defender. And the one thing that I think is interesting is that the Spurs lost Kawhi. Kawhi is one of the best defenders in the league, possibly of all time. But Danny Green's also a good defender. And they lost both of them.
Now Toronto has some really nice defensive players with Kyle Lowry, Kawhi Leonard, Danny Green, OG Anunoby. Like, there's just Pascal Siakam. There's just a lot of different defensive potential with the Raptors. I think from the Raptors' side, you know, they took a swing at defenses. They're hoping that it works out. Maybe they can convince Kawhi to stay. You know, the city of Toronto is not as bad as it seems. There's a lot of players who went there initially and didn't like it. Kyle Lowry, Patrick Patterson, obviously he's not there anymore, but they both really love the city now. Even DeMar going to Toronto, you know, he really loved that city, and that's why he was so upset. So they're hoping they can convince him. If not, you know, a rebuild looked like it was on the way anyways, so the Raptors took their last swing at the fences, and it really could work out. You know, like you said, Nam, they could potentially be the number one seed again. They could potentially represent the Eastern Conference in the finals, have a really nice defensive team matching up with the Warriors. But moving to the Spurs side, you know, they add DeMar DeRozan, an all-star player, a very good player that people, I think, hate on a lot because of his playoff performances, which obviously he struggled. And then Jakob Poeltl, you know, a nice big off the bench, and then the protected first-round pick. It's not a great return for a superstar Kawhi Leonard's, you know, status, but with the leverage they had, I don't think it's terrible.
Yeah, I think for the Spurs, it just keeps you so relevant. You know, the playoffs are still right there. You know, I don't think they're much better than a 5 seed at best. But you're battling for a playoff seed. You're still competitive. And I don't know. I mean, DeRozan and Aldridge pairing, it's not the worst. It can possibly bring in another all-star. I don't think, you know, seeing those two guys on a roster is going to turn away everybody. I think it's possible they go out and get some kind of, you know, mid-level free agent possibly in the future. You got to remember, you know, Rudy Gay's on a one-year deal. A lot of the guys they brought back, they're cheap. They're not long-term deals. It's one of the reasons why they didn't re-sign Kyle Anderson. So I think the Spurs are looking big picture. They did get another all-star to pair with their already all-star. So I think the Spurs are just – they're retooling. They understand Popovich. You know, he only has, I don't know what, 5 years left? I mean, how long can this guy really coach in the NBA? He's had 22 years already.
Forever. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right? He's the White Walker. Of course, he's, he won't ever die. But I think you just have to see how this develops further.
The thing about this trade for the Spurs is that most people will easily say that the Spurs won it outright because they knew Kawhi was walking and they were able to get probably one of the better trade packages that any team could offer them outside of teams that have a lot of good draft picks. But the one thing that people do kind of browse over that I kind of already alluded to slightly was that the Spurs just got a lot worse defensively. And I think that may impact them, especially with the offensive like firepower in the Western Conference in general. I just think that's not something that can just be glossed over, is how much of their defense just went to Canada. But yeah, the Spurs definitely won their end of the trade. I think that the fact that they got DeRozan for Kawhi, who played 9 games last season, I think it's good. I think that there is not much else they could have gotten that would have been this instant reaction for them.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it from a different couple of perspectives. Obviously, long-term, where Kawhi goes is going to be a big impact. But DeMar, you know, some people may look at that contract negatively. You know, he's obviously due $27 million this year, $27 million next year, and the following season is a player option. You know, some people might be like, well, he's not going to get better. He's not a star player that can lead you to a championship. He is a good player, and I wouldn't be surprised if he got better with the Spurs. Do you guys think DeMar could take another level up?
We just saw DeMar DeRozan have his best season in the NBA, right? So he's coming off a career year. He's going to he's going to play for one of the greatest coaches we have in the NBA, possibly of all time. We've seen what Pop can do. He can extend careers of older guys. He's helped younger guys obviously develop. He's had Tim Duncan, Tony Parker. Those guys are Hall of Famers. I think for sure we could see DeMar DeRozan take a jump.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's going to be an obvious jump. Like, I don't know if Popovich is really going to get DeRozan to be a better scorer, because DeRozan's already one of the league's elite when it comes to scoring. But what I would like to see, and I think is very possible, is for Pop to get more effort from DeRozan. Maybe
defensively.
Yes, definitely defensively, because I think DeRozan has the body for defense. There's no way that he couldn't guard 1, 2, and maybe even 3, depending on which team he's facing. I think that if Pop can get maybe some defensive effort out of DeRozan, and then on top of that, maybe a little bit of playmaking. Those are the two biggest flaws in DeRozan. I think if anybody can get him out, it would be Pop.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think there's some room definitely for improvement on the defensive end. You know, you look as maybe a playmaker, he improved last year, maybe taking another step in that area. I think Popovich in the Spurs system, maybe taking DeRozan a little bit out of iso ball a little bit more will help him. You know, it's yet to be seen what is going to happen there. And then getting back to the Toronto side, what do you guys think is going to happen with Kawhi in terms of playing? You think he's going to give his full effort this year, have a really nice season, or he's going to kind of, lack of a better term, half-ass it?
Well, it came out that he's warming to Toronto. So I like to think that he's seeing the marketability plus that can come with playing in a city like Toronto, where obviously there's no other NBA teams he's competing with in the entire country. You know, if you're successful, if you're a star like we know he is, you know, the country could really grab around him. Kind of how Drake is. You know, Drake is an icon, a hero to many people in Toronto. Right. So I think Kawhi sees some of that, and I think he'd be foolish to not, you know, see that as a possibility to just expand his, you know, his brand of the Claw. I think Kawhi has a great opportunity here. I think he's starting to realize. I think, you know, once he gets in the training camp, and I hope, you know, we heard a lot of bad things about Kawhi. I hope that at the end of the day, the competitor and the guy we saw win Finals MVP, he's still there. You know, despite maybe the antics off the court and whatever the uncle says and all that nonsense. that when it comes to business, Kawhi Leonard will still be, as Dom mentioned earlier, you know, the second best, the top three consensus best player in the league.
Right. One hot take I could give you is that, is it possible Kawhi Leonard's uncle is actually LaVar Ball?
That'd be mad funny, but I don't think that's the case.
No, probably not, but it's more or less the same result. The thing about Kawhi right now is, as you said, Corey, we've heard so many awful things about him this past summer. And before this whole quad injury issue, Kawhi was one of my favorite players in the league. And not to say that he isn't still, it's just it's definitely like a tainted image at this point. And I think he needs something to just give him a chance to show that he's still that guy, even especially without Tim Duncan and all that and all those Spurs legends.
Moving on though from there, you know, what would be your prediction for the season for each team? You know, just real quick, you don't have to give a reason why. What do you think is going to end up happening with the Spurs? What's going to end up happening with the Raptors in terms of seeding, playoff, you know, what?
So, I mean, when we're looking at how this team plays out, when if we're playing, you know, predict ahead and what if and how things will end up, I think the Spurs are between a 5 and 8 seed. I think they win probably over 45 games. They're competitive. They're a nuisance to any team. You know, one of the teams that, you know, maybe gives the Warriors or the Rockets some kind of trouble. Nothing much, but maybe, you know, they win a game, kind of like how the Spurs did this previous year. And then on the other flip side of things in the East, the Raptors have probably, if things go right, if Kawhi is healthy, their best chance to possibly make the NBA Finals. You know, they have a new coach. We have to see how that works out. But for the Raptors, who were the one seed last year, it's, you know, for them, you have to think the one seed is still right there right there for the taking to have back-to-back Eastern Conference titles.
As far as
regular season titles. Sorry, they didn't win anything in the playoffs.
I think as far as the Spurs go, I think that they will will have to restart their 50 win season going into the playoffs. I think that they would have done it this year. They almost did without Kawhi and with DeRozan stepping in to kind of fill the shoes that Kawhi wasn't. I think that can bring them back to their 50 wins. But as you said, Corey, I think it's a 5 to 8 seed at best. LeBron's in the West now. The Lakers are going to be in the playoffs. As far as Toronto, I would say they're going to be between 1 and 3, depending on the East is not as open. Well, it's open. It's more open than people think, I should say. I think the Pacers are on the come up. I think the Bucks are definitely going to be on the come up with a new coach. But I would predict a 2 seed and only one or two games behind whoever's in the first seed. That'd be my prediction for Toronto.
I think you guys are pretty spot on. Spurs, I mean, they're going to be better in a sense scoring-wise, but like you mentioned earlier, Don, they're going to lose something defensively, maybe pop and get more out of DeRozan, but the West is so tough. They're still going to be a nuisance to play in the playoffs. And for the Raptors, I mean, the sky's really the limit. If Kawhi buys into the Raptors and believes in them and all these young players take another step forward, you know, we could see the Raptors in the finals as well, and this could be their best chance of getting to the finals. Even if Kawhi was to leave, it's still like a shot at the fences. Like I said before, you know, for the Raptors, they were kind of getting ready to enter that rebuild in a year or two anyways. Now Kawhi leaves, they just go a little bit sooner than anticipated. But any last thoughts on this trade?
Go ahead, Dom.
One last thought. It was the thought that I'd forgotten while I had the floor earlier. After all the rumors about LeBron and Kawhi teaming up in LA, and then the one did come out about how Kawhi was not interested in playing second fiddle to LeBron. And as we do know, LeBron is going to be in LA for at least 3 years. So that may be a lot less enticing than it was at the beginning of the offseason. So there is a chance that Kawhi may decide to stay in Toronto.
Yeah, I was just going to say that if you just looking at the Raptors roster now, they have a lot of guys who can they can do a lot of switching on defense, which I think they're getting better at. And a couple of years ago, they struggled at 3-point shooting. They also have now more 3-point shooting and getting Danny Green. So I think the Raptors, final thoughts, did become, I think, a more rounded team if Kawhi is healthy.
Yeah, and I think one other thing to point out, it's been rumored already that Kawhi is talking to the other stars about where the next super team is going to be. So, it, like Dom mentioned, there's a possibility he doesn't go to L.A., he doesn't go to the Clippers. He goes to another team with a lot of cap space, a la New York, Brooklyn, you know, one of those teams, and tries to team up with somebody. It looks like LeBron made L.A. maybe a little bit less enticing for Kawhi, so I think there's even more possibilities and also the option of staying in Toronto. So I think the Kawhi Leonard situation is going to be on hold for maybe the season, but then next summer it's just going to open up once again. It's going to kind of be like the LeBron sweepstakes, and we'll really see what happens with a lot of teams who have cap space. In other news, though, Marcus Smart looks like he's finalizing a deal with the Boston Celtics. It should be 4 to 5 years, I think, to the $40 to $50 million range. Thoughts on Smart staying with Boston?
Yeah, I mean, a guy who was disgusted and agitated by the lack of communication he had with the Celtics front office now seems to be staying put. Marcus Smart is, you know, in a lot of ways, the heart and soul of that Celtics team. You know, the diving for loose balls, the countless defensive plays he makes in the ball game, despite having at times very little offensive production. You know, he's a good guy to have. Him having full bird rights is going to get him some good money. The salary cap in Boston is, you know, not great now, but I think it's a guy you have to retain if you're Boston.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's a very crucial move for them in the offseason, and Danny Ainge did elaborate on that like maybe a week ago or something along those lines. He did say that Marcus Smart was the top priority, and they brought back Baines, and I think that Smart was the guy they needed to get back. Celtics are just going to be looking to run it back, and I think Smart is one of the biggest, if not the biggest factor to their success coming forward.
Yeah, he's definitely a glue guy that every team kind of needs. He does those things that don't show up on the stat sheet. And for the Celtics, it makes sense to bring him back. Their cap was already kind of at all over the place, and they weren't really going to sign any big free agents. It's more about keeping their guys and maybe moving somebody in a trade and kind of getting assets that way. But I think bringing back Smart is the right price, right move, and they'll probably get him at a better price because they kind of sat on it through free agency. And they'll lock him up long term, so even if he gets better, they're kind of keeping him at that price. So I think it works out for Boston, works out for Smart too, and I think it's good for the Celtics, and kind of excited to see what they're going to be like next year with a fully healthy squad. But on from free agent news, there was a couple other signings, but we're going to move on to Corey's hot take segment. Corey, what do you got for us today?
So hot take, shot fake. This is only the second time we've done this. So this is pretty big. The first one, two of these are going to be around Kawhi. It's a big deal, all right? The first tweet I saw today was Kawhi to the Raptors makes the Raptors the favorite in the East. Hot take or shot fake? Basically, so, Dom, hot take means, you know, you agree, and the shot fake means you don't agree.
I got you. That's a shot fake.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Dom. It's a shot fake as well. I think if Boston's healthy, they're the clear favorite just because they have so much depth. They've had all these all-stars on their team. You know, Kawhi is great, but we've yet to see him come back from injury. You know, we saw Boston already in the Eastern Conference Finals with injury. Now, with a healthy squad, they could be a lot better. And then on the Raptors side, they did lose DeMar DeRozan. They add Kawhi, but we don't know how interested Kawhi is in the Raptors. So I think I'd give Boston the nod for number one, but that could change as the season progresses.
I actually think that Toronto would lose 7-game series to Philly. There's my hot take in response.
Yeah, I'm with you guys on shot fake. I don't think it makes it that much better.
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes them better, and I think they could be really dangerous in a playoff series, but I have to see Kawhi. He literally didn't play an entire season. Like, Gordon Hayward didn't play an entire season, but to be honest, it doesn't quite matter as much. Kyrie played most of the season. He had a surgery. He's probably going to come back, be pretty much the same player. And like I said, Boston already got far enough without both of those guys. Eastern Conference Finals, I'm more confident in Boston squad than I am in Toronto squad.
Yeah, for sure. So the next tweet, sticking with the Kawhi, I'm going to read the tweet verbatim. Despite Kawhi going to the Raptors, this has not changed my mind that next year the best player in the Eastern Conference is Giannis regardless. Hot take or shot fake?
That's a hot take.
So you're agreeing, Dom? I like almost kind of agree. See, this is like, I wish I had like an in-between one right now because
this
I think.
This is a tough one. This is a tough one.
I agree, absolutely. Like 100%. No doubt.
I could see the hot take in it where you're agreeing because Giannis is going to take another step. But if Kawhi gets to that level, he is proven to be better as a two-way player. you know, like Giannis still has to prove defensively consistently that he's better than Kawhi, which he hasn't done yet, but he can do. And then Giannis obviously has to improve his jump shot, which Kawhi already has a proven jump shot. He's a three-point shooter. So I'll say shot fake for right now, but if Kawhi isn't fully healthy, then I think Giannis will be the best player in the East.
Yeah, I do kind of take that as more of a question for the future, because I've always thought Giannis, with the exception of Anthony Davis, Giannis is the future face when LeBron and KD are gone.
Yeah, I think it's a shot fake. I think if Kawhi's healthy, like you said, Nick, Kawhi is still the best player in the East, hands down, despite the injury.
Yeah, I think this is somewhat of forgetting. You know, this tends to happen. Obviously, Kawhi missed an entire season, so it's more likely to forget that he is one of the best players in the league when healthy. It's just that we haven't seen him healthy in over a year.
Well, there are other players that would be involved in that discussion as well, depending on how they break out.
Honestly, I don't think so. I think Giannis and Kawhi are number one and number two. Maybe you can make an argument for Joel Embiid to get up there if he takes his game to another level. But I think, like you said, Giannis has that freak potential to be the face of the league, and Kawhi's already a proven MVP candidate. Who would you have in mind as being in contention as well? Because, I could see people mention Joel and Kyrie, but personally, I think Giannis and Kawhi have more of a bigger skill set.
There's two people. John Wall and Victor Oladipo. And that's just because I think there's a level that they can get to. It's just I don't have evidence to back up that it could. It's not likely, but I do believe that they have the ability to, if put in the right situation.
Wow, Corey likes you a lot more now.
I mean, I think Victor Oladipo is a top five player in the East. I don't know if he's that high already, but he's definitely coming. I had another hot take shot fake, but I guess I didn't save the screenshot, so I only got those two.
So you got to make one up on the spot.
Ooh, okay. let's see. DeMar DeRozan is an all-star in the Western Conference this year. Hot take or shot fake?
That's a hot take.
That is God, this
that's
is
tough.
The
West is stacked. That's tough.
That's a shot fake. I think there's too many guards that are better than DeRozan. Yo, Chris Paul didn't make the Western Conference All-Star team last year. And don't give me DeMar DeRozan over Chris Paul.
But Chris Paul was hurt. That's the only reason he didn't make it, I think, right?
I mean, it's sort of it, but like, how does a team that has the best record in the league only get one All-Star?
Yeah, you're right.
Wait, you're forgetting, though, it's not, I'm assuming they're going to do the same format as they did last year, though. So they I don't remember how the voting worked, but
Still works East and West. They didn't change it that. Yeah, it's just the teams are different. People are advocating for them to change it to East, you know, a free for all, like whoever's the best player makes the All Star team, because it does have implications in terms of contracts. But
In that case, never mind.
Yeah, I think there's just so many good guards in the West. Like,
I mean, I would still take him over, like. Maybe Jimmy Butler, depending on how he plays next season. He didn't really
– two-way player over a one-way player. And then, like, Donovan Mitchell's up and coming.
Like, I mean, you just think about the point guards for a second.
James Harden.
Yeah.
I'm going to assume Curry and Paul will be hurt then. And then he'll
– All right. If we're doing people are hurt, then, yeah, it's a hot take for sure. I think it's a shot fake.
Who has a better chance of making the All-Star team, DeMar DeRozan or LaMarcus Aldridge?
Probably LaMarcus Aldridge still, just because there aren't as many good bigs as there are guards. And LeBron, because LeBron's going to take a forward spot too. So
I think I'm actually with you on that, Dom. I think LaMarcus Aldridge has a better chance just because he's a big man. And I still think even with DeRozan there, you know, it'd be nice for Aldridge to have the kind of year he had last year with, you know, another guy who can drive and penetrate and do some other things offensively. So I think actually Aldridge may even have a better year this year than he did last year.
Some pressure off Aldridge for sure. And the fact is there's not as many bigs to match up with Aldridge. You know, there's a tendency for teams to play small or not have defensive-minded bigs where, you know, every team's going to have a perimeter stopper, and DeRozan might not necessarily get as many shots as he got in Toronto with the Spurs if they run their system.
Yeah, I'd say
that's fair.
I think LaMarcus Aldridge is still going to – I think the Spurs are still going to be his team no matter how long DeRozan's there. I think he's the more emotional leader as he was last year. I think he's going to continue that role.
A lot to be determined now. Obviously, for the Raptors, for the Spurs, we'll see what happens, which team benefits, what happens with Kawhi next season. But that wraps up for today, guys. As always, thank you for hopping on, Dom. Thanks, Corey. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Check us out on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, and YouTube.
For now and forever, peace out, knuckleheads.